I want to give you a, before we start this morning's message, and I'm excited about what the Lord's going to be saying here in just a moment, corresponding reference, something that corresponds real close with what we're going to teach and share this morning. And it's from Pastor Jim Martin, and if you go to his website, it's the message that he did on 11/9 of this year. That was just last Wednesday night, and it's the post-election prophetic word. And it's really good, and I would encourage you to sometime this week to listen to that prophetic word. It's very, 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 very powerful. And a teaching, a line-on-line teaching from the Word of God along with that prophecy. So, amen. Let's pray. We invite all of our friends from around the world that are watching us this morning, and they're all part of the Family Prayer Center, and we appreciate you being a part of it. Now let's pray together and just begin on what God has for us this morning. Father, we thank you and we praise you for our friends and family that are here with us this morning, and those that are watching from around the world and are a part of everything that God is doing in present tense fashion, knowing that we're going somewhere. It's not about us. It's not about a man, or it's not about any particular person. It's all about Jesus. And so, Father, we praise you and we magnify you. We thank you. We give you all the praise and glory for all good things that you're doing in these last days. And we are so excited. We're ecstatic, Father. We thank you for the person of the Holy Ghost and what He is doing in us, and we just rely and lean upon Him in Jesus' precious name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Hallelujah. We saw, I hope you're of this persuasion. If you're not of this persuasion, then I still love you as much as ever, and I hope that you listen enough this morning to at least think. But we saw an incredible, an absolute astronomical, I can't put enough adjectives to it, incredible miracle Tuesday night. Incredible Tuesday night miracle in this nation. Pundits on both sides cannot determine logistically how that it all really came about. Now, when something is beyond intellectual minds, and they can figure it out. I know they can figure out the academics of the actual numbers. That's not a problem for them. But when they can't figure out how the demographics of certain regions actually turned out and did what they did, then it becomes something that is beyond the natural. It's supernatural. It's supernatural. And even when bad things occur and people can't figure out why they actually happen that way, it's supernatural. There's a supernatural element that's absolutely involved. I tell you what, personally, I was just rejoicing incredibly. And you know that most of you that know me as pastor and those around the world know that I'm a very early riser. That's my best time in the morning. A long, long time before the sun comes up and the stars are still out, I get my prayers in and a lot of my meditation and Bible time, and so I'm normally up very early, but I was up till 3:30 that night and early in the morning. So I got up at 6:30 the next morning. My beautiful, lovely wife stayed in there, and she was with me till 2:15. And we were watching. I just could not. I was like, man, when is this thing going to, when Ohio, which is Jim's state, I'll say, when it went, I was like, glory to God. I jumped up, and they said, he has to have Ohio. And I just like, oh, my God, thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. And, I'm jumping around. But then I was like, no, wait a minute. God, please don't let Jim Martin get his state, and I don't get mine. Please, okay. I got to get mine, too, So exit polls were incredibly, incredibly wrong. The first couple of hours, they were predicting something else that did not happen in the state of Florida. And then as the night went on, they began to shift and actually take a total 180. And they showed that the exit polls were not what, you know, they were not a representation of what was happening. And I could see as I was watching that Florida was gaining momentum for Mr. Trump. And then when I saw, of course, Florida was a late caller, and then when I saw North Carolina go, I said, oh my God, hallelujah. And then I saw that Pennsylvania was neck and neck, and then you could just feel the shift taking place. And then as I don't know what network you watch, but I was watching a particular Fox network, and Brett Baer, when he walked up to the upper deck of their control, you know, to their analyst room, and the guy that is a very smart and was watching the electoral map, and he began to talk to him and ask him questions. And there was one point, it was like you knew something incredible was taking place, because he began to ask him, he said, no, what I hear you saying is, I want to get this right, are you saying now it has changed from a strong challenge of Mr. Trump finding a path to 270 to now Mrs. Clinton is really having a tough time finding a path to 270? And he said, that's exactly right. I said, oh my God, hallelujah. That's probably another time I went running around the house. Yeah, I run around the house when the Gators, you know, win, and I was running around the house that night watching God, and I am so proud. You know, I just in a proud. You know, you can be a proud father, you can be a proud mother. Pride is not bad when it's used. God's proud of us in a good sense. It's not a destructive pride. It's a beautiful pride. I'm so proud of all of you, but I'm so proud of our millennials, our young people that have. I never tell anybody what to do. I am not a authoritarian that just dictates what a person. I just share. This is what I just share from the Bible. What Scripture says, and where Scriptures point to. And I've had all of these young adults a reflection of what the Bible says, and I knew that they voted that way. And I'm so thankful. And some of them. Posted, and I don't tell them to post because I know I don't tell them what to say or whatever, but I know it can be detrimental to them. I know they can be there can be a fight, but you know, persecution for righteousness' sake, the word says the Spirit of glory and of God will rest on you. Hallelujah! And if you are doing it for the right reasons, not just to pick a fight, folks, I'm telling you. Get ready in these last days. You're going to need to know how to keep your joy in the midst of people that don't like your position at all, that really does not like your position, and will go to any lengths to persecute that particular position. I would have loved to have been a fly on the wall in the spirit. Now, I can kind of understand through the eye of faith what things were happening, but if you've ever read any of Frank Peretti's novels, and they are novels, but I think that there's parts of them that are very applicable to spiritual things. And Mr. Peretti has, you know, he's been an author from long since. And the novels that I'm talking about is Piercing This Present Darkness, Piercing the Darkness, and they were sequels, and there might have been a third or fourth one, I don't know, but they are like, I just wish they'd make, you know, movies of them. I wish, you know, some Hollywood producer would produce them, because they're really incredible about all of the spiritual things that go on in behind the scenes. Because, folks, there really is, if you believe in God, then you have to believe also in spirits. You say, well, is there ghosts? No, there's not ghosts. There's spirits, devils, and angels. There's only two classifications. There's no haunted spirits, and your aunt, your uncle, your mother, your father, or let's put it on the good side, on the pretense. They're in heaven, but all individuals parted are either incarcerated immediately or go into the presence of the Lord. Now, that's the Word of God, and you say, well, I don't believe that. Well, then you don't believe the Word of God. There's only two places they go. And there are present tense. They're not allowed to roam or do anything else. But there are spirits. And these demonic spirits are in four classifications. And these demonic spirits work on a very stringent hierarchy of power. And they are very, very, just like our assisting angels, warring angels, which are always, always, always presented in the male. Now, this is not a chauvinist statement. They're always presented in the male gender by the Bible. They are not sexually male or female, but they're presented as masculine warriors. Listen, I wouldn't want no bimbo, fat little baby angel trying to protect me. These are warriors, and they're always presented in a masculine gender, always from Old Testament to New Testament. And but they are under a hierarchy of power. In other words, yes, they're under God, but there is a pecking order, if you want to say it like that. And there's different types of angels as well. Actually, if we just got into all of that angels and demons and all that, some of the same classifications that you would talk about as in powers and all those principalities and those kinds of things, they can also transfer over into the good side too, because they were all created under God's realm, and a good bunch of them fail. But it's amazing. I am convinced that Satan, which is an extreme organizer, and he has extreme military generals under him. If you go to the book of Daniel, you'll find out as he talked with Michael, or he talked with an angel that said, "I'm going to the prince angel, which is Michael, and I'm stopping off here. I've got some things, and then I'm going to come back," or whatever. That's not the lesson for today. But there was this dialogue, and he was talking about the prince angel, which was Michael, which was standing up for Israel. And he talked about the different demonic princes that were over nations. And so it's very, very interesting in that aspect. Is there is a military kind of pecking order in the realm of darkness. And believe me, you know, I know that we blame a lot of stuff on Satan. We'll say Satan calls me to do that last week. You would be, and I'm not trying to put you down, you would be extremely privileged individual if Satan even knew who you were. He doesn't even really know. In other words, it's not that you're not important to God or in me, but most of you, I don't know that most of you know the President of the United States or have a hangout with Mr. Obama or can call Mr. Trump and congratulate him personally. They don't really know you. It's not that you're not important. It's just that there's no way to know you, and there's no time to know you, and there's other things that they got to do. Okay, Satan doesn't know who you are. Now, some of his hierarchy might, and if you cause enough disturbance, if you get enough people born again, eventually it'll leak up to him. And the people, 99% of what stumps most people is not devils, it's just their flesh. That's just their flesh. "Oh, I'm fighting devils." No. You know what? You get on up there where you really start doing something for God, you'll be fighting devils. And most people just fight their flesh. So we got off on another sermon. But here's the deal. This hierarchy, it's amazing. Satan, I'm convinced he did not know that Mr. Trump was going to win. He did not know. He thought for sure that his principalities, powers, rulers, and wickedness in high places had predominantly sowed things up. And so consequently, you could give it academics, and you could say, well, this is this, this, and the other. But he's throwing a fit right now. He's absolutely throwing, just like a kid would throw a fit when it does not get its way. He is throwing a fit in the streets. And believe me, it's not innocent. That's not going to do so much. That will die out. But we're going to discuss where we're headed and what God's Word says in the future. We will stay focused. We will stay focused. We're not going to become a political church. You don't hear a lot of political messages around here. And even when you hear something that you think is political, it's not political. It's the Word of God. Okay? And we give scripture on it. And we taught a number of lessons and the importance on understanding the hour in which you live in. But our main focus is going to be week after week on how to get you from A to B, how to get you to the next place in His presence, how to grow you up in Christ, how to represent Christ before the world and bring in this great harvest before the last days. And we're going to continue line on line, precept on precept. But sometimes there's something so notable that has such a crescendo of glory that saints have fought for and believed for. Listen, 25 million, I saw a special report the other day. They said that the one of the major reasons why that Mr. Trump was elected to office is that 25 million evangelicals, that's you and I, that did not show up in 2012 showed up in this election. 25 million. And so they came forward, they under extreme duress, and said, look, if we don't do something now, it'll never be done, and it's really going to get it worse. But I'm telling you what I'm going to say, or what the Holy Spirit's going to say. Evil has not been extinguished. And I can tell you, and I'm going to show you from the Word of God, it's going to come back. We do have a reprieve. In fact, this lesson title is Reprieves, S, and Judgment. But if you don't think, now I do believe that we've launched a reprieve, and we'll define reprieve in just a moment. But God has launched a reprieve. But if you don't think that there is not already, and even before what was one in the Spirit, a tremendous Satan is furious. He is absolutely furious. But what he does, he's a military genius. He's going to step back and punt. He's going to figure out what he did wrong, and the next wave of evil that is coming against the church and against this nation is going to be 10 times stronger than the one that we've noted in the past. But we're going to be ready for it. Amen. Those that are not asleep are going to be ready for it. We must stay extremely focused. We won't get political. We'll pray, we'll fast, we'll go forward, and it doesn't matter what times come, good or bad, or whoever's in office, we will, by the grace of God, we'll stay focused, and we will receive and have and present to Him this revival, which is the blind see, the lame walk, on and on and on, and thousands are born again in this outpouring. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Now turn with me to a particular verse of Scripture. And that is in 2 Thessalonians. Hallelujah. How many are glad to be in the church, the house of God? And I will find it, and then I will tell you. Thessalonians is just before Timothy. And it is chapter 2. And then we're going to stay right there with me, because we're going to be back over in 1 Thessalonians in just a moment. Chapter 2, Paul says a couple things to the church at Thessalonica, both in chapter 1, or Thessalonians 1 and in 2. There must have been a real concern in the hearts and the minds of people of what we would term, this will be a big term, I'll tell you what it means, eschatology, end time events. When is God coming? The disciples ask him in Matthew chapter 24. They said, when is your return? You say all this stuff's going to happen. When is your return? What should we look for? And the people of Thessalonica, they were looking for and asking questions. All the epistles are, which is great, is they are answer to questions or their corrections. Paul would get a word, and he would understand by people coming to him that would have to travel. You got to understand, of course you understand, no phones, no email, no Facebook, no texting, nothing. It would take sometimes weeks and months to get to a place where you were going to deliver a message, and then all to find out that you had to turn around within just a couple days and dredge back across. Thank God for modern times. I can say something now, and within just an hour or just moments, you know, really, I said hours, that's way too slow. Hours, it can be heard around the world. It can be heard around the world. And this is what God is going to use in these last days to bring in such a tremendous onslaught of people being born again and receiving the mind of Christ. Now, the question was, what about God's coming? What about the end time? There's movies made about Armageddon. There's movies made about the apocalypse. There's movies like the end of the world. Is there an end of the world? Well, yes and no. The world is always going to exist. This planet is always going to be here, and we really are always going to live here, but it's going to be renewed. How does he do that and destroy it at the same time? Not really sure. My guess is he has to pull us off, destroy it, renew it, and put us back. It'll be fun. I like roller coaster rides. It's going to be pretty cool. So, let's look at chapter 2 of 1 Thessalonians. Did I say 1 Thessalonians or 2nd? Well, I need to get where you guys are at, right? Amen. Thank you. Let's look at 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 1. Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, and by the gathering together unto him. So this was their question, and this is the matter of concern about us all getting together at the second coming. That ye be not soon shaken in mind. In other words, okay, settle down, be at peace. That you soon be not soon shaken in mind, or be troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter as from us, as that the day of Christ is at hand. So he's going to settle this and say, look, no matter what you hear on Facebook, no matter what anybody tweets you, no matter what anybody tells you, even if you think you get a letter from us, we're going to tell you, settle down, listen, because this is what you need to look for about that day being the end of the world or the coming of Christ. Let no man deceive you by any means. In other words, don't let rhetoric take you out and worry you like, wow, is he coming today or is he coming tomorrow? For that day shall not come except there come a falling away first. Okay, number one right there. Now just stay with me and look up, please. The first thing he said is there is going to come a falling away first. Doesn't that correspond with what Jesus said? Jesus said, number one, they said, tell us, and today, as prophetic teachers, people would say, tell us what cataclysmic events are going to take place. Is Jupiter and Mars and Venus going to line up perfectly, and then there's going to be some big explosion, and the moon's going to turn into blood, and what all, oh yeah, and people are like, wow, I love all that end time stuff. And there's beasts crawling out of the ocean, and there's like cyclops walking around, and like Godzilla, And really, all those things are going to be, they're not going to amaze people like we think of them. You're looking at I just believe a lot of that, or most of that, is a first century man trying to describe to the best of his. How does a first century man describe an F-16 fighter jet flying across, at Mach 3 or 4? I mean, whoa, dude, how in the world do I write this down? I mean, he does nothing to be able to describe it, and fire is coming out of its mouth. Well, these rockets are coming out. So we're going to see, but the first thing that Jesus said about the end time is this. Let no man deceive you. Let no man deceive you. And so this is what Paul said here. He said there's going to come a great falling away first. Tremendous falling away first. And so doesn't that correspond to what we just had 17 weeks of, about this, the radical grace message and falling away? Listen, ring, ring, clue phone. Here's the deal. The world doesn't fall away. It can't fall away. The world doesn't. This is talking about a falling away as in turning from a red hot relationship with Christ. The world doesn't. You say, well, the world's going to fall. No, the world doesn't fall away. The church has to fall away. So what it's talking about is there's going to be an apostasy. Now, wow, what a dichotomy. We get this. We're going to have a red-hot revival with a lot of people born again. And at the same time, simultaneously, you got both ends of the candle being burnt or going in opposite directions. You got people being born again, and then you've got also people by the thousands that are in dead churches, are part of the five foolish virgins that are hearing the word, but they're not hearing the word of God, and they're hearing man's doctrine, and simultaneously, they just get colder and colder and colder and colder and colder and colder and colder. And they get so far out here that they're, I left you guys. they get colder, colder, colder. That's as far as I can go, okay? And colder, colder, colder gets them to a place where, and they're hearing it from the pulpit, to where their conscience is so seared that then they just think they can do anything. Well, I confess Christ, and they're doing everything. Listen, if Christians get to do everything the world gets to do, why become a Christian? Just live it up. Live it up. Christianity is a commitment. Christianity is, but it's the best. I mean, it's the best. Somebody said, no, if I can't do anything I want to do, I don't have liberty. Listen, what causes a kite to fly is the string that's holding it, giving it some restraint. The restraints that we have according to the perimeters of life gives us our enjoyment. Unrestrained gives you, that's why people that become predators, it's never enough. It's never enough. And they get their they're jolly, and there's just that, that just fulfilled me for a little bit, and it's just more, and it's just more, and it's just more and more, and they never get enough. Unrestraint is the definition of bondage. Coming into Christ is the definition of liberty and life. And so what will happen is there's this great falling away that takes place, but simultaneously there is a revival that is taking place. But then he says this, let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there be a falling away first, and that man of sin, the son of perdition, that is the Antichrist. Perdition means one that has alienated himself from all truth, one that is bound for failure, destruction, on and on and on. This is the Antichrist. And there's many other satellite scriptures that we could go to, but we do not have time this morning, and that is not our assignment. What will he do? He will oppose and exalt himself above all that is called God. Now, he does not say that he will oppose and exalt himself above all, above God, which he will or try to, but all that is called God. All that is called God means all godly principles, all godly, like, man, they are, you're talking about dumb. The world looks at us. If you make a stand for God and say, look, I love you. I'm not going to hurt you or harm you or persecute you. You can be what you want to be. That's the thing about God. He won't change a person from being what they want to be. But it's wrong. This is wrong according, well, who's wrong? It's wrong because the Bible says so. And the world, much of the liberal world has turned that, like, look, if you think like that, if you think there's certain restrictions that must be imposed, you are an intellectual idiot. You're an uneducated, intellectual, predisposed idiot if you think like that. Now listen, all true intelligence comes from God. All true intelligence comes from God. He wrote his word on what would help people and what would genuinely bring them into the truth and enlightenment. Now, it says here he would oppose himself above all that is called God. In other words, all the principles in which God has put in the church or in the world. See, even when people that are not Christians follow to their advantage godly principles, it'll work for them. It'll work for them. God loves everybody. And so it, you know, godly principles work for anybody, even if you don't confess Christ as your Savior. Well, what this anarchy is going to do is he is going to come into power through the influence that he's going to have on the world. Much of it, all of the prediction or everything that the Bible is talking about has a lot to do with the Middle East, and it has a lot to do with him coming to power. And the Bible says that he will exalt himself. And when Jesus was asked about this in Matthew 24, he also got to this point. And he said, when the abomination of desolation in which Daniel spoke of comes to fruition, that's when it's close. Now, the abomination of desolation, which Daniel spoke of, if you go to Daniel, you'll find this beast or this Antichrist coming into world power. And he comes in and exalts himself above all that is called God. It's not like, look, he doesn't just come up one day and is a president or a nation of whatever and says, okay, I am God. People go, you're stupid with what you are. He will line on line usurp authority and cut off. There's one scripture, and I wish I'd have found it. It says he will change times and seasons. In other words, he will redirect the focus. It will begin to be something that he will realign people's minds to where that they think like him, and eventually they will begin to follow him in an incredible degree. But here, amazing enough, it says here, he will oppose himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped. Now, then he's talking directly about God, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Remember ye not that when I was with you, I told you these things, and now you know that, okay, so I'm not going to go any further, just verse, you know, Paul is amazing. Let's, because he says something over here in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, and I'm like, really? Yeah, okay, look at 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 1. This is where I go, really, Paul? Because he's like, you know, everybody knows this, right? You know, I'm like, whoa. Nobody knows it really, because nobody's walking where they should be in certain areas. And Paul's like here in verse 1 of chapter 5, 1 Thessalonians, he's talking about the same subject. But of the times and the seasons, brethren, ye have no need that I write unto you, for ye or yourself or yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. And most of the church doesn't know perfectly anything about Jesus coming. They're like, and Paul's like, you know what? Hey, this first grade stuff, I'll tell you again, and we're like, this is doctorate stuff to us that are ignorant. And what does it tell us about where we're at? We need to go to another place. It really does. And so it's good. Paul's like, okay, you guys know this perfectly well, but okay, I'm going to tell you. He says this, when they say peace and safety, then sudden destruction shall come upon them as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. Now, this is talking about the end time. This is talking about going into tribulation and the rise of the Antichrist. But ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that that day should overtake you as a thief in the night. Everybody say this. I will not be overtaken by his grace. I'll wake up and stay awake until the end. In Jesus' name. That you, brethren, are not in darkness, that that day should not overtake you, or should overtake you as a thief. Ye are all the children of light and the children of the day. We are not in the night, nor in the darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as do others, and let us watch and be sober. For they that sleep, sleep in the night, and they that be drunken are drunken in the night. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for the helmet the hope of salvation. Okay, we'll just stop right there. But he's telling us the church that is alive. See, listen, we're going to teach on this later by the grace of God. there was 10 virgins, Matthew chapter 25. If we're not coming into that, I don't know what. 10 virgins, they were, you know, a virgin is, okay? I don't think I have to explain to anybody here what a virgin is. So-called undefiled by the world, separated, perfect picture of the church. And yet, within the virgin community that was to be, go to this wedding, and of course, you know, I've studied this, and this is not this is not a man marrying 10 women. Obviously, Jesus did not believe in that. And what these are, if you study antiquity, you find out that these are 10, what we would call today as bridesmaids. That's the best that you can offer. And these were 10 virgins going to, they weren't all going to be personally, there was one bride, she was going to be married, but these were supporting cast. Okay, so these 10 women were not going to be married to this one man. That's not what it's saying. But these 10 virgins, obviously, and we talked about this a couple of weeks ago, they were all part of the wedding party. 5 were wise, 5 were foolish. Again, we don't have time to go into all that. It's neat. Jesus talked about relative things. Now, we don't in America celebrate it this way, how they did that. And why they did it that way, I don't know. It was beautiful to them. There was a wedding cry, and the best man would say, "He's the man's coming, you know, or the groom is coming," and they would pass through the streets. The readings I did, sometimes they would be in their separate quarters, or sometimes the virgins would always or be right there maybe with the bride, and they would be ready, and they like to do it at, like surprise parties, like, okay, let's do it right now, let's do it tonight. And he would take her to his father's house, they'd have a big reception, and that's where the actual consummation of marriage would take place. Of course, in private, but that's they would bring everybody there. They would bring everybody there, and once they got to your part or got to the place where the virgins were at, everybody lit their lamp and followed the parade. And of course, Jesus he teed off of that to give an illustration, and he said there were 5 wise, 5 foolish. The 5 foolish did not keep oil. They did not keep the reservoir. They did not keep it full. And when they heard the cry, let's go, let's go, let's go, he's here, they were like, you know what, we're empty. We're empty. And they said to the 5 wise, let's have some of yours. They said, no way, we can't. We can't share. We got to go in. You got to do that for yourself. While they were going to buy, Jesus said, oil, he came, the wedding started, and they were not permitted in. Now, tragic story, beautiful, but tragic, beautiful for those who stay alive. And this is what Paul is saying, stay awake. Stay awake. Now, I'm not talking about physically. I'm talking about spiritually. Stay awake to the end. Because it's very important, very, very important. Hallelujah. But this man, and we don't have time to go into him, but I'm just talking about the spirit that exists in the world today. This man is a man of, and I'm saying, where is the church going to? Where is the world going to? This man is a man of lawlessness. Everybody say lawlessness. Now, if lawlessness means that he does not like to be told what to do, that's a real elementary definition. But he will, out of lawlessness, are we seeing lawlessness in our nation today? Unprecedented amounts. This is the spirit of the men of Jude. Did we not just go through Jude and 2 Peter? And specifically, we brought out the flavors of lawlessness and not bunking authority. Like it says there, these people will hate dignitaries. They will speak evil of governments. And it's not just what we did. We boiled that down to a microscopic. We took a telescope and boiled it down to a microscope and said, look, what that really is talking about is this, is it's talking about not being under authority in the church. And saying, you know what, I don't care what so-and-so preaches. I've got my opinion. Well, you know what, I appreciate your opinion, but your opinion doesn't matter at all if it's not backed up by the Word of God. And if you get in a discussion and you say, well, blah, 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 it's, you know, and it's just not, it's just like with me. If a person has an opinion and they want to share it, I'll be respectful towards it. And if a person has an opinion about, like, say for politics and those kinds of things, and he gets to really want to talk about it, and he's got adverse, and one of the, if he's got an adverse to what I believe, I'll say, well, did you vote? If he says no, then end the discussion. I will not talk to anybody that doesn't vote. If they literally could get to a voting station, but they want to talk politics, as far as I'm concerned, you're disqualified from discussing it on a level of like this needs to happen or that needs to happen. If you don't take your right to do that, okay, praise God, amen. Now, am I loved? Still loved? Nevertheless, this man will be a man of lawlessness. He will be a tremendous man of lawlessness. And we see that lawlessness taking a place in the church. It's taking place in the church at large. And what we've said in the times gone by is this. The church, the falling away of the church or the going to sleep of the church will give rise to the Antichrist. Because we already see that the word says here that it will... that what happens is that there's this man of lawlessness that comes to pass, but we see that there's a great falling away first of the church, or there is a backsliding, if you want to put it that way, in some ways. In another way, I should say. It will give rise to a tremendous amount of anarchy, and that's what we're seeing. That spirit, as I said before, and I hope you agree, and I just don't ever argue with anybody, really. I'm not a confrontational person that's, you know, and I believe everybody has the right and opinion, even people that don't vote. But I'm talking about if a person really wants to stand on a stump and give their speech, that's by right. That's by a right. The spirit is throwing a fit, that spirit, and I'm not talking about a singular spirit, I'm talking about the multitudes of these spirits, like I said, I wish I'd have been a fly on the wall. What devils that were like underneath his authority? And these are not, listen, when you see a devil, let me see if I can describe this. When you see somebody, I don't know if anybody have ever seen a manifestation of devils. Like that would freak me out, Pastor. Have you ever seen that? So many times I can't count, okay? We really don't. Some people, you know, some people like, they love to get a buzz on Halloween. You know, they'll watch, you know, crazy stories. I don't watch demonic stories. I don't watch the Jasons and the Freddies, and I don't watch what's the little doll thing, you know. Don't let your kids do that. You know, you're breeding fear in them. I know personally people that were come out of and become demonically possessed and later tried to kill themselves, or take their life, or wanted to take their life as a result of watching these kinds of things. It can breed fear. It can breed anxiety. It can breed. And if you do those things, you need to go back, ask God to forgive you, ask Him for His cleansing power, and vow to never do those things again. And it's just wrong. It's just wrong. Okay. But I'm telling you, there are spirits, and they work, under, yes, sir, I don't know how they say it, but there was probably spirits that their heads, however that work in the spirit, their heads were on the chopping block Wednesday morning. I'm telling you, they were in big time trouble. They were big time trouble by the master evil spirit, which is Satan. They got called in on the carpet, and believe me, he could put torture on them. I don't know how he does it, but he probably has a power. He is the epitome of all evil, and he's not even a speck in millimeter or any or a speck in the sky compared to the power of Almighty God. Something that created will never ever, even for a moment's time, even partially, ever be subject to something. How did I say that? Something that creates will never be subject to something that has been created. There's no way. And God's just like, even at his best day, God's like, pff. I don't even think God does the, pff. I don't even think he, you know, it's like, It's nothing. It's not going to happen. But demonic spirits, if you'd have seen all that, if you read those Frank Peretti novels, they'll keep you on the edge of your seat. They're like, okay, it would be the Christian buzz to getting scared, okay? It'd be the right way to get, because it's like, oh my God. And it's talk, and it shares, and the demons that put pressure on people's minds, and how they try to influence churches and split churches, and how they cause, you know, and how they're really right there talking to people in the room at times. And these are not like, and I started to say this a little bit ago, if you've ever seen a manifestation, and I have, and I'm people, they're not faking it. You know, they're not really faking it. I mean, I have seen women that could take about 10 men if you don't take the authority over them, and they could toss you around like the biggest linebacker in NFL football. I've seen them just, and there's no need to mess with them. I don't care if you're a 300-pound, you know, defensive lineman. They will toss you around because they're working under a power that's inside of them, and they're demonically possessed. But those devils that people go, oh, and they get, you know, they get scared and like, wow, what should we do? You know, they run out of the church and like, whatever. Those are really, listen, the hierarchy devils. Actually, if Satan walked into this church this morning, you probably would think if he came in his original kind of best dressed form, you'd probably think he's probably one of the most handsome men you've ever laid eyes on. He'd probably look, you know, just absolutely GQ. I mean, just to the point. He'd be the guy, you know. And so those hierarchy devils don't look like that, and they don't look like the little monkeys that you see and all the grotesque things. There are those classifications, and they will possess, like the man of Legion. The man called Legion. He had thousands of those little impy guys that everybody goes, "Ooh, that's a nightmare on Elm Street. That's a bad deal." Those devils, the good-looking devils and the hierarchy devils are geniuses, and they do not embody, you know, the drug addict and the prostitute. They don't. It's like I can't go there. I'm ruling over a nation. Now I'm not going to jump inside of her or him. They won't lower themselves to that. But the ones that were over things like the election and those kinds of things, those are guys carrying briefcases in the spirit, and they're high tech, and they're figuring out how we can get people to do certain things. And when it does not go according to plan, I can tell you that their heads were on the chopping block. They're going to suffer consequences in eternity if Satan himself has anything to say about it. So, incredible. So that spirit is throwing a fit. We are still in a war, folks. Even though I celebrated, I hope all of you, or most of you in here celebrated, and I know most Christians were celebrating, I hope all Christians were celebrating, we are still, and really, in a certain sense, the war has just begun. It really has. There is controversy among end-time teachers on this, whether or not America is destroyed in the end, or we stay a conservative Christian nation. Some say that we make it to the end under a contract that our forefathers had with God. I can't find in the Bible one way or the other. I do know this. Most of everything that is really the hard part of the tribulation is going to be taking place in that part of the world. That's going to be the core of the hard part. I'm praying better things for America. So I don't have hardcore scripture that one way or the other on America, how far it will go in these last days as far as being destroyed and feeling the effects of the Great Tribulation. The Great Tribulation is connected with the Antichrist's coming. We also see the judgment of God simultaneously with this anarchy coming to pass. Then there will come a judgment straight out of heaven from God during this time. What is a reprieve? Now, because the title of this message is Reprieves S, meaning there will come a number and could come a number of reprieves, and judgment, the end judgment. But what are reprieves? I'm kind of trying to define in your mind and your thinking that there's seasons. See, Jesus and all the prophets, predicted what was going to come at the end, but we don't know everything in between. We don't know how many of these stays of, let me define. A reprieve is this, to delay the punishment of, to suspend the execution of a sentence on, to give a respite to, or as to reprieve a criminal for, and then it gives here different illustrations, to reprieve or to relieve for a time or temporary. In other words, it would be like something's going to happen, but we're going to postpone this as a result of the intervention of other things. And the intervention of other things being the church praying, rising to the occasion, and saying, enough is enough. We have to pray. We have to vote. We have to do certain things. Judgment is coming. How long before the end judgment? I do not know. But we must, as I said before, and please believe me, if you don't catch anything else, I hope you're still with me listening. We must get ready for the next wave that is coming. We must be prepared stronger than ever. It's inevitable that this is coming because we have scripture on it, but we don't know exactly how far America, as I said before, is going to be part of the total outcome. God saw the end, which incurred judgment, but that does not, that was not a prediction as in, or it was not a predestination. Let me say this, if I can explain it. God will tell you what's going to happen, but that doesn't mean that he orchestrates in making that happen. Somebody said, well, no, listen, God knows all things. I can tell you what you're going to do tomorrow, but that doesn't mean I didn't make that happen. Now, I can help that. I can help, if you pray and ask me, I can help divine course to work it out, but a lot of prophecy is God just saying, this is what it is. It is what it is. So in that, sometimes people will say, you know, people that you guys don't know. I'm friends with some prophetic groups, good people. I love them. They're really doing a lot in the world. But theirs is kind of like it. Their mentality or their doctrine is a little different. They're fighting for salvation. They're fighting and they're doing some excellent things. But some of the prophets are like, you know, it's going to happen, and we just really, it's just going to happen, and there's nothing. Well, yes and no, there is going to be reprieves, stays of execution or stays of judgment that may last even for decades. I don't know how many decades it is before he actually comes, and I don't think anybody in this room knows. A reprieve, at best, will be for our advantage. In other words, if evil is somewhat put at bay or stay, it will be a tremendous advantage for the gospel to be preached. And there are a number of things that Mr. Trump and people, you know, people will say this, and I'm not making a saint out of him, but people will say, but do you know what he did in his past? And do you know what he said about women? And yeah, and that's not good, okay? That's not good. But it's like Jim Martin, I heard him say, he said, no, repeat that again. Do you know what he did in his past? What? Past. Oh, don't all of us have a past? And let me tell you something, because I is one. Any man, sorry, ladies. First of all, if you're a lady or a woman, and you think that what you heard was an exceptional, like, oh, I can't believe men talk that way, you are so naive that you and Mary Poppins need to join company and go create some kind of fairy tale. If you think that men prior, I hope prior, but sometimes not, prior to Christ, do not say naughty things and tell naughty jokes and say naughty things, you're naive. And if your husband, don't ask him, because he don't make him lie. Don't make him lie. And if he voluntarily tells you, I never did that prior to Christ, you need to do a right hook across his left eye. And if he comes up to me and tells me, Pastor, before Christ, I never said any of that kind of stuff. Thank you. And we don't have one scheduled, but if we ever go out on a men's retreat and camp by the river and put up tents, he's not staying with in my tent. He's not. Because I'd have the flashlight on all night long, watching that side of the tent. Because real men, I'm sorry, okay? So people have been absolute hypocrites. Just absolute hypocrites, okay? Hallelujah. The in-betweens are reprieves in which millions are saved and great revivalists come into fruition. These are the days of when God, he calculated all this in his forecast. He calculated all this. And let me say this. To me, it's all about, I guess the main issue, it's all about the innocent, the unborn. That's what it's all about. Let me say this. Do not be impressed with any so-called concessions. Do not be impressed with any so-called concessions. Now, I said Wednesday night, I thought Mrs. Clinton did a good job. And there was a part of my compassion towards her humanity. But believe me this. Now, her stand, and you can go on, you can Google it. She believes, and now she puts under a clause for certain health issues, but you can get a doctor to write this. It's just like a hall pass. It's easy. This could possibly endanger. She believes, basically, I'm not trying to use this as a buzz that everybody else, but her platform said this: right up till the moment of birth, the child can be taken and aborted. That was her platform. That was her stand. Now, I believe in the Word of God teaches that a child is a human being at conception. At conception. Do not be impressed by concession speeches. If she or they would have come in to power, they would have done everything possible to take their platform. Their losing did not change their heart. It didn't change their heart. So my humanity feels for people, but I am so thankful for what happened Tuesday night. That was a God thing. And Mrs. Clinton and Mr. Kane both used scriptures in their speeches. Please, folks, please do not ever be impressed with anybody that uses a scripture while they're talking to you if they're not qualified by character to use that scripture. We've got people all over nowadays that say, well, when they were talking to me, they quoted from the Word of God. I could care less. I could care less if a person is not qualified. In other words, if their character does not represent who they are. And you've got people saying, we believe that it's all right to kill the unborn. Listen, I'm not talking about me. Please, go online. Sometimes people don't like to look at it because it's so horrible. But taking the horror of something doesn't make it right. In other words, if I don't look at this, science, you can, not just one, not just the pro-life, not just so, but different websites will tell you within how many days the heartbeat starts, how many days the fingerprint is there. They have proven now that they have dreams. They suck their thumbs. They have memory. You say, how can they have memory? They've never done anything. No, they have memory. They have a memory way before birth. because they have proven that they can play certain songs and they can get a physical reaction, and they can play the same song later on and they can get the same reaction, the movement. Babies, even in the womb, can hear, they get movement. You know, parents can talk, you know, right in the, towards the end. Dads can talk to them, and then you can see their bodies start moving. They don't know your dad. They don't know your mom. They just know, I've heard that voice before. They are a real, live human being. They exist. And when somebody says, I believe that it's all right, there's a doctor, I'll give you his name. Please Google him. I really like what I'm watching. He's like a brilliant guy, certified. He was delivering children. He also he was aborting at the same time. He aborted over 1,200 children. But he had a real life change of experience. He's now a pro-life activist. I believe he's following God. You can YouTube him. I'll give you his name. But this man, you know, incredible story. He was daily just, you know, and he's got all these boom, 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 boom degrees, like incredible degrees. And, you know, he was performing all these surgeries. He was delivering children. He and his wife wanted to have a child, and she could not. And he was like, one day it struck him. He's like, you know, I'm throwing all these babies in the trash can, and we're wanting to have one. And please, I'm not going to go into it, but you need to one time in your life, be woman enough or man enough to sit there and watch a video, and watch what really happens, and the two or three different methods by which they destroy that baby, and how horrible it is, and what they do to that living human being. It is beyond, I won't even talk about it right now, but the sobriety of that moment, and for anybody to ever stand up and say, I believe that a child could be 5 minutes before it's born, there's a core of wickedness that no concession speech will ever cause them to be saying, wow, maybe this, no, listen, folks, evil is evil. Don't ever, ever concede to it. Love people. Speak respectfully towards people, but know that what is in the hearts of men and women are still there, and if they had the power, they will bring it to pass. They will. They will. And the battle's not over. It was in the heart of Pharaoh that would not concede to the plans of the deliverance of God's people. Each time God's power was revealed, his heart only grew more dark and hardened and stronger in the direction of evil. The final correction is coming. This is all going to balance out. It's all the final, you know, they say there's corrections in the stock market. You know, it just, if you follow the stock market, I do to some degree, you know, and it'll have corrections. It'll correct itself where everything kind of just, boom, flatlines. And then there's a correction. There's corrections in the financial markets and stuff. There is a final correction coming. It's called tribulation. It's called the last day, rise of the Antichrist. Right in the middle of all the tribulation, then Christ is going to come back. And boy, is he going to balance the books. He is going to extremely balance the books. The final correction is coming, in which the Antichrist will rise up and launch an incredible battle against the saints. That's why I'm telling you, folks, there's been a... you know, and again, I'm not making a saint out of this man, but what he says is, I want to stand up for the unborn. I believe in the sanctity of marriage. There's also an act in which President Johnson put into effect. He wants to repeal that. That gives more rights for preachers like myself and stand up. And I've heard him say this a few times. He said, we need to repeal that. President Johnson, all of you are too young to remember him, most of you, but he put into effect a certain, it attaches a gag order kind of per se on 501c3 ministries. It says, like, if you say anything to promote, this is who you should vote for, or that, this, that, or the other. If you cross that line at all, they don't come and get you and haul you off. You could just lose certain financial statuses and those kinds of things. But Mr. Trump has said, I'm going to fight for the churches, for religious freedom, more religious freedom than ever before. I thought that was very powerful. Israel, we got some lessons coming up. It's going to be called Don't Kill That King. It's going to be really good. I'm really looking forward to it. At least that's going to be part of one of the a couple of lessons. And when Israel went into Egypt, or went into the Promised Land, they were ordered to just take everything out. Just take everything out. Why? Because God said, look, if you don't, it's going to grow back. And it's going to come back, and it's going to come back harder and stronger. I've mentioned the cycles. Listen, the 25 million plus Americans or Christians that stood up and said, we can't, this is going someplace, it can't happen. If they don't stay diligent and vigilant, it will come back. And the plans are for it, the satanic spirits. I don't think that these people have a far enough, they have an agenda, and they're very, very powerful people, and they are very smart people. But when you get a principality standing and kind of standing over and giving wisdom to figureheads in nations, listen, the battle has just begun. And the mistakes that were made this past time will not be made again. Only by the enduring prayer. My feelings is that God also has a plan and for the future for Mr. Pence beyond. Now, you understand Mr. Trump can only serve two terms, but then the vice president can, if possible, stand up. The world is going crazy on this. The world hates it. It cannot understand it. But I'll tell you another thing, too. We saw like never before what's in the hearts of people during this election. What we saw, and we saw also even in our elected officials that we had elected before in the past, and we thought they were conservatives, and they would not stand up at the right moment. There were certain people, there were presidents of the past, and I'm sorry, I love them, I voted for them, but they were wrong. They were wrong in not standing up. They were absolutely wrong according to the Word of God. The hearts of fellow Christians and former elected politicians we saw exposed during this time. Let me say this. Any Christian, listen, any Christian that cannot see, everybody listening? Any Christian that cannot see the relevance of the need to fight against this murderous spirit, and I'm talking about that one, you know, those murder spirits have been, they tried to kill all the babies during the time of Jesus. They tried to kill all the babies during the time of Moses. That's that same spirit. But any spirit, any Christian that cannot see the relevance of the need to fight against this murderous spirit, any Christians, any Christians that felt that it was not a top priority in the heart of God, and that we were not mandated to fight vehemently against, pray concerning, encourage and turn out to vote if possible, unless you were just sick or just so distracted by really some strong needs or whatever. Any Christian that cannot see that relevance reveals something about themselves. It exposes something about them. This reveals a fruit of the darkness that is already in their hearts. It is possible that they are becoming associated with the distinction of the five foolish virgins in Matthew chapter 25. These virgins were part of the wedding party, and yet their lamps went out prior to the coming of the groom. With no resource with themselves, they had to look to others in the final moments while the other five virgins were going into the marriage. These five foolish virgins, missed the final entrance. Any time that the horror of murder of the innocent is discussed with any believer in regards to political things, and after this reflection, there is a rebuttal of, capital B-U-T, but, if they say but, and an argument is presented on other issues, you can mark at that precise moment that something in their hearts is being revealed that tells you something about their internal walk with God. If you hear the but, and they go on to argue after the highest standard has been delivered, you don't have to argue with them. You don't have to rebuke them. But you can just walk out there saying, they're in trouble. They're in trouble. There's something going on inside of them. They're in trouble. These people deserve our prayers because they are in trouble. They're already under a sedation of the coming Antichrist order that the son of perdition will usher in. They cannot see it, but some of, if not a large portion of their oil has already gone out. Who is President Trump? We're not making him a saint. This is not about him. But let's close with this scripture out of 1 Timothy chapter 2. Let me read it for you. This is our assignment. I exhort therefore that, first of all, supplications, prayers, intercession, and giving thanks be made for all men, for kings and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior. Listen, I prayed for Mr. Obama for the last 8 years. I was respectful, and I've said things that I disagree with his platform, but I've never said anything derogatory. If I have, then I've repented. I've never said anything directly derogatory towards that man as his personal person. But listen, we have to pray for Mr. Trump. And I'll tell you something else. Believe me, this is where we have to pray. We have to pray that he will do what God's anointed him to do. Somebody said anointed. Yes, he is anointed to do certain things. I mean, in other words, anointing is not, you can say there's an anointing on me by the Holy Spirit to get, but I have an anointing that's on the inside of me. Now, some have said that he's made a confession of Christ. I cannot confirm that. I do know this. I have watched that he has been humble enough to allow men of the charismatic movement, men that pray in tongues. I've watched this and seen it on YouTube, that he stood patiently, silently, and allowed men to pray over him and ask God to give him wisdom. He has submitted himself to men of faith like our faith who believe in the blood of Jesus. And whether he has not, I don't know, but I will tell you this. He does fear God, and he fears enough to say there's a sanctity of life, and the Bible describes marriage as between a man and a woman, not between two men or not between two women. And he's standing up for that. And for that, we need to pray for him. And also, I can tell you this. We need to pray that he does not fall. There's a spirit. There's a fine line that Christians hardly even know about. I will do everything I can to get along with you. But when it comes to, I'll be merciful to you. I'll love you. I'll do it. But if it comes to, we think getting along is compromise. Like, okay, I'll give on my conviction and you can give on. Listen, I can't give not an inch on my conviction in Christ. Does that mean I become a dictator or mean to you? No. But do I begin to say, maybe it's okay if you kill the unborn? You know, no. Maybe a few marriages, if they really loved each other, it's perversion. It's perversion. No matter what, it's perversion. There's no consolidation. You can't marry the two and say, okay, you give some, I'll give some. Pray that what he's been anointed to do, go in and create change, that he really does do that. Because when you get there, you're trying not sometimes that spirit of Washington does not begin to slowly eat him up. The other thing, and I'll close with this, pray for he, his wife, and the vice president, pray for their physical protection. If you don't think that there's not people in this nation and around the world that would love to kill that man, you are sadly mistaken. They would love to assassinate him before he even gets started or before he gets really going with any change. They would love. And listen, presidents have been killed before. Even with the best secret service in the world, they have been assassinated before. We must pray for his protection. We must pray for his covering. They're riding in the streets. If us Christians, listen, the liberal agenda, they say we're peaceable. We want to entreat. One thing that they say is this: you're so, to the conservative Christian, they say you're so narrow-minded, and we fear you. We fear you. We fear what you might do. Okay, let's just look at it. I can say right now, and then I can prove it by history. If people fear what this conservative mindset might do, I can promise you this, that if the other party had won, you would have not seen not one Christian riot, not one stone would have been thrown, no cars would have been burned, no hatred would have been. Why? Because it didn't happen in the last 8 years. The Christian conservative agenda was not, I mean, they lost. They just lost. And that did not happen. And who is to be feared? Who is to be feared? You are what you show yourself to be. That's who you are. I think I'll run for office. Hallelujah. Let's all stand. Praise God. What's that? The doc, thank you so much. Thank you so much. Sherry is asking a question of the doctor's name to YouTube. Levitino, or Levitino, L-E, Dr. L-E-V-A-T-I-N-O. And if you just Google that, or Google YouTube, incredible. He's there. He's got one video where a lady like is of the pro-life interview, and that's like 20 minutes long. And he's talking about how that he had no children and all that. And then I think he actually lost. I didn't get to finish that interview. I think he, amazing enough, as soon as he adopted a child, then his wife got pregnant. And then they lost a child, a critical accident that took place. And then he's before a congressional committee giving what actually happens during an abortion, I believe. Well, let's just pray and let's close and let's join together in prayer for our nation and for our president-elect. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you. We praise you for the incredible victory that we saw Tuesday of this week. And this was not a victory for Republicans. It was not a victory for a party. It was a victory for righteousness and for the unborn. And so we pray that in Jesus' name that we'll be more diligent to fight than we've ever been, and that we will not concede in our hearts to say, oh, maybe they were. No, Father, we understand. We love the people, but we hate the platform. And we're asking that we'll always be remembered in remembrance of what their intentions are for the future. But we close in prayer by praying for Mr. Trump, his wife, Vice President Pence, and his wife and family, that not one hair of their head will be destroyed in the days ahead, that they will be under protection. The same God that brought this to pass will be the same God that will protect them, keep them, and deliver them. God, let the Secret Service, Lord, find out plans way before they ever take place. Let it be discovered to the law enforcement way before it ever takes place. Father, we thank you and we praise you for your great grace in these days. And thank you for the victory this week in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Hallelujah.